And it's the Phil Henry Show, world famous and all that, man, on philhenryshow.com. We are live and mobile. Listen live on our website. We're also live and mobile on TuneIn. And again, if you're traditionally listening to us on radio stations, if you're wondering what happened to Phil, man, he used to be on here in Busted Whistle, Arkansas. Well, you know, I'm not trying to be smart, but wherever you live, and there's all kinds of places where we've been heard. And where's Phil? He's not on in Portland. Or I remember listening to you, Phil. Or we have you on here. Well, now it's even easier. You see, it's not that tough.
You sounded just like a commercial lady, but now it's even easier.
Yeah, you did, Mr. Henry.
I mean, I'm not trying to make fun, Phil. Now it's even easier. It did. It sounded very good.
Thank you. Okay, well, you know.
Well, Phil, you traditionally have a more of a commercial background, don't you?
Yes, Phil, you'll notice, has a very nice voice.
Yeah, Mr. Henry's more professional.
Yes, and the thing I...
All right, hold on. What are you talking about, you know?
Well, we're not trying to interrupt, Phil. We just noticed you have a more polished, professional demeanor.
Yeah, well, I came up at a time... Do we really want to talk about this now?
I'd like to, yes.
Well, I want to say the thing that I want to say.
Let him say the thing that he wants to say.
Well, what are you going to say?
I'm talking about how we're going to be on, web next week.
You're going to be all over web. Good Lord, Phil, if this was another time and another place.
Yeah. Jack Webb is spinning at his grave, isn't he?
Give me five, General.
What is it? You guys are real glib tonight. I said, and what I meant was, we're going to be on the World Wide Web tomorrow. I mean, next week. So I'm trying to explain that to people. But yeah, I've done a lot of commercial. I came up at a time when your voice, you know, having a nice voice and being able to elocute.
What's that?
You know, being able to...
You got to pronounce the word good.
Yeah, you got to pronounce the word good. That was really valuable, so I learned how to do that. And I was always doing public speaking or some jazz like that. Not public speaking, but, you know, like debate class and stuff, General.
Oh, yeah, where you would debate the different topics and issues of the day.
Yes, I was on the debate team.
Yeah, it's just not about you, though.
I beg your pardon?
This is not about you.
All right, take it easy before feelings get hurt.
How about him? It's not about me. It is about between you and me and Phil. It's about me and Phil. Between me and Phil, it's about Phil. But between you, me, and Phil, it ain't about you. It's about me.
And Phil?
It's more about me between the three... Well...
Are you kidding me or something?
Sorry.
So anyway, next week... We're going to have our show on the World Wide Web and be forewarned and all that. And you can get us on TuneIn, and you can get us on the Phil Henry Show website, and you can get us, man, you can get it all over the place. You can also be listening to the podcasts. Boy, that sounded kind of...
Boy, you just said you can also be listening to... how about the colloquialism of Mr. Henry, too?
It's just fun analyzing you tonight, Phil. I'm sorry.
No, Mr. Henry, they're allowed to, like, analyze you.
That's invasive to his body.
No, it's not invasive, although I don't want to be analyzed. Next week, we will be also dropping a podcast in the afternoon on the same day of the broadcast. So you can hear our podcast same day. You can also listen to the show live. And
what is the advantage of doing the live show when the podcast is available on the same day that the podcast was made available? You're probably saying that wrong.
Now, what is the advantage of it being a podcast? What's the advantage of you doing the live show?
Well, the advantage of doing a live show is it's just live. I like the idea that there is an option for the listeners that they can hear it live. Now, a lot of the podcasts you hear, it probably doesn't much matter because they're more presentational in terms of, like, this is a podcast about something, like, you know, like, remember when we did Paul Gilmartin's or when we did Mark Maron? You know, Mark does an interview thing. Paul does this, the mental health happy hour. And it's kind of like most of the guys do that. But we do a sort of all-purpose radio format. And the radio format is one that works well, not necessarily best, but well when it's live. So,
well, if it's not at its best when it's live.
I don't know. I mean, we will evolve this as we go. And one of the great things about doing what we're doing is we can do anything we want. We can explore and expand and experiment any way we want to. We can branch out and do other podcasts. We can just do this one as the main one, and we can do, you know.
Well, now you said that this Dooley woman that I'm not familiar with.
Well, she does this podcast at her own.
Yeah. Now, that's going to be incorporated in the body of the show, is my understanding, correct?
Yes.
All right. Now, I'm not familiar with the Dooley woman. What does she do?
Well, I mean,
She's a woman. You don't...
I don't want to know about it, huh?
Wait, what do you mean you don't want to know about it?
Well, Margaret's giving me the high sign over there.
Yeah, you gotta just don't go there. You wouldn't want to drop that.
All right, never mind.
No, wait a minute. Wait. She's the president of a homeowners association. She has 3 kids. She's got a husband. And she has interesting things to talk about.
Yeah, right.
Well, I don't want to mix and mingle. I certainly don't want to interfere.
Well, it's not interfering, and Margaret's had a long-standing rivalry with her, so...
No. That's got nothing to do with it, not at all. No. I simply critically and objectively find the woman to be... She's troubling. She's disturbing. Very, very disturbing.
Oh, you find her disturbing?
Yes, I would say so.
I don't think she's disturbing. I don't think it's disturbing.
Thank you, Bud. No one asked you.
I asked you, Bud. Thank you very much.
I didn't hear you.
Well, I'm just now. I'm asking him as I'm going into the past now. Okay, Bud, I'm in the time machine. I'm asking you, what do you think of Mrs. Dooley?
Oh, yeah, she's not disturbing.
Thank you. Okay, now fast forward to the present.
All right, we're fasting forward to the present. Where's the time machine? I really hate you when you do dumb junk like that.
Dumb junk like that. Margaret, you belie and you betray...
Excuse me, I'm going into my purse for a napkin. I can't really be listening to you right now.
Why can't you listen to him when you're going into your purse?
Because I'm looking for a napkin to clean something off of this suit jacket, which I just bought at Chevrolet's, and I can tell you right now, this is a $900 jacket. Thank you.
All right, that's very nice, Margaret. You know...
It's a $900 jacket.
Okay, and so...
So, I've got a chili stain on it.
Yeah, you're eating chili with a $900 jacket.
I had some chili for...
I mean, I don't know. You know, a $900 jacket, one would think maybe you take that off before you're eating. Where'd you have the chili?
That's none of your business. Where did I have the chili? Woo! Get a look.
Well, Phil, she's wearing a $900 jacket. I don't think you ask a woman.
You don't? I see. Okay. I didn't know that I'm not allowed to ask certain questions of a woman who's wearing a $900 jacket. Forgive me for that.
You can be all kinds of smartass, Phil. You can be every shade of smartass, every grade of smartass. The answer is the same. None of your beeswax.
Margaret?
None of your beeswax.
Phil, I think you need discretion being the better part of valor.
Well, what does that mean, discretion the better part of valor?
I don't know, and I'm not talking about it, and never mind. So now I'm completely off course again. Oh, on Monday...
Yes. Monday, the webcast, blah, 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 blah. Where are the napkins?
Why don't you get one of those baby wipes?
Yeah, no, you're not. You're supposed to wipe, well...
You're not just supposed to wipe your ass with one of them.
I'm trying to keep it clean here. All right. So that will be happening on Monday. And also pursuant to that, we're going to be excited to possibly, technologically... augment our presentation, our video presentation and our audio presentation with the guests and so on and so forth. So we'll let you know. It's terribly exciting. I'm really thrilled because the time change, we're going to be on at 9 a.m. instead of this. I've been doing nights for the last, God knows, with since I left Miami. I was doing afternoons in Miami, so that's 96.
Now, didn't you do afternoon drive in L.A. briefly?
I did. I did afternoon drive in L.A. for maybe a year. Not quite a year. But since 96 to now is 18 years at minus one. That's 17 years I've been working nights. It ain't fun, man. Doing nights is one of the things about doing nights. People think, you get to sleep in and you can do it. The whole damn day is spent thinking about the fact that you got to go to work that night. The whole day is spent thinking about what are you going to do that night. The whole damn day is spent thinking about how you're going to do it. When are you going to do it? Why are you going to do it? There's no relaxing going on. You know.
Well, what about this sleep issue you have?
Yeah, now that's the other thing. I'm going to have Dr. Jim Sadler here in a moment. We also have Brad Rifkin, who we did not have on the show yesterday, and apologize. He was supposed to be on the program to talk to me about the proposed autobiography that I'm going to be writing in Your Wildest Hallucinations. So Brad Rifkin will be joining us, and then Dr. Jim Sadler here this next break to talk about, insomnia. We also got some Justin Bieber audio. Did you hear this? Everybody been telling me, you got to hear this. This kid's a real scumbag. He's a real punk and a half.
Well, and I'm glad you asked me, Phil, because I do want to give my read on this, and I think it's very important.
Oh, she did it again.
Would you stop with the whole...
That is my... I want to give my read on Justin Bieber.
I can't sit in the same room when she does that.
Well, that's good news for me.
We're going to be back, and talk about the Bieber and this deposition tape that has surfaced, which sounds pretty jacked up, if you ask me, man. The kid's sounding like all kinds of smartass on this tape, and the attorney sounds like he wants to throttle the kid, and who knows? Maybe it's going to happen one of these days. We'll hear a deposition tape from TMZ. Here's Justin Bieber today, and you'll see he just did...
Oh, God, you'd like that, wouldn't you?
I'd pay money to see that.
All right, we'll be back here. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Coming up next is Dr. Jim Savage. Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. We're live and mobile on our website, philhenryshow.com, live and mobile at TuneIn. And I got a nice cup of coffee here, and I haven't touched it, you know?
That looks delicious. I'm saying it looks delicious for the benefit of your listeners.
Well, is that the Turkish?
Yes, what's up with you, General?
I'll just say, is that the Turkish?
Good God, you... If this guy's been dropping those...
You didn't get into that Adderall again, did you?
I didn't get into any Adderall. I'm just, is that Turkish? Because I could use a blast and a half of that, that's for sure.
No, get you some, General.
Thank you, Dickman.
What is with you, man? You look all wired up.
I'm not wired up. I'm trying to be wired up.
Well, I can tell you, you didn't take any of that Unisom that I took, did you?
No, the Unisom. You know, you got to be... Excuse me, Phil. You know, I respect you and love you, but what? How did you turn all P-word and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, got P-word on that, but same with Unisom.
How'd that ever happen to you that you turned into a real... Excuse me for saying this. A real B-word... That you can't even handle it yet.
I'm a bitch because I can't handle Unisom?
Well, Phil, let's be reasonable, for God's sake.
It's not like Unisom is any kind of a heavy downer, Phil.
Hey, let me just explain something, and we will move on here to our close personal friend, Dr. Jim Sandler. I'm not a drug user.
Neither am I, Phil. I don't know about anybody else here. I would hope and pray. Have you drug tested these people?
No, I have not.
Why?
Hey, are you saying he needs the drug? You know something?
Wait. I'm not drug testing anybody. I'm not commenting on anybody. I don't use recreational drugs. Last one, I got a hold of that medical weed for sleep, right?
Yes, sure.
That's exactly why I got a hold of it. You know, I don't even like marijuana. I smoked it in my younger days, and I stopped smoking it because chemically, biochemically, it doesn't agree with me. I don't like it. Booze is far more, if you want to know the drug that would probably have gotten me addicted had I not had if I'd had an addictive personality, would have been the opposite of weed, which is cocaine, you know? I'm just follow me here, Margaret, okay?
Yeah, you can't give us anything. You're going to try to get him in trouble.
I'm a reporter. I ask the tough questions.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
That's a tough question. Hey, did you ever snort cocaine at a park? The guy lived in California. What do you think he did? Of course he did.
Now, please don't answer on my behalf, General. Just all I'm telling you is I don't like weed. When I got a hold of that medical weed for sleep, which is what the CanMed guy prescribed, it didn't do it for me, man. So I'm not even, you know, smoking that anymore. But the point is that the recreational use of drugs that's not in my life, but I ain't drug testing anybody around here. And that's that, Jack. All right, Dr. Jim Sadler will join us. What do we got him on the line here for? I don't even remember why we brought him on. Bud, do you know?
Uh-uh.
Does anybody know why we have Dr. Sadler here?
I don't remember. You were going to bring him on about medical marijuana?
No, not about medical marijuana. If you guys don't stop interrupting me, I swear to God, I'm going to have a psychotic break, what they call a psychotic break, where I just start to flip out. I start to throw things, and I start, man.
Well, Phil, I have no idea why you've got this guy Sadler. I could well imagine is it something to do with the sleep?
That's it. Unisom. Okay. Now,
Oh, God. Phil, don't say anything about a product, because it could get you sued.
Hold on for a minute, will you? What do you mean sued? Dr. Sadler, how are you, sir?
Good evening, Phil. I'm doing well, thank you.
I wanted to ask you about the whole insomnia thing that I've been going through here for the last 2 weeks. Last night, I took a half of a Unisom.
I'm curious. Did you say that you had smoked some of the medical marijuana? that you had tried the medical marijuana?
Yes, I had.
And that did not alleviate the insomnia?
No, it didn't. The first couple of nights I dropped off okay. It helped me get to sleep, but then I woke up in about an hour.
All right. So what we're talking about is a need for REM sleep. And REM sleep, of course, is the rapid eye movement sleep. And that's the deepest kind of sleep that there is.
Yet, how come that's deep sleep even though your eyeballs are moving?
Well, but your eyeballs, you are very much in deep sleep. You are out. You're out like a light, like the saying goes, you know?
Yeah, but that's not a bad question. If we're really out in a really, really deep sleep, how come our eyes are darting around?
Well, your eyes are darting around because you're now into a very deep subconscious state whereby the subconscious mind is now activated and becomes the predominant mind. So you're so zonked out and so zoned out that now you are in that state of mind where you're in another world and you're awake in that world. You're asleep, but you're awake in that world.
Are you talking about dreaming?
Yes, that's what it is. You're dreaming. I wasn't using the right word. So when you're dreaming, it feels like you're awake. And if you're awake, your eyes are looking around, your eyeballs. You're using your eyeballs when you're dreaming. I mean, you're not really, but you think you are. So you're going to move them around.
All right, so rapid eye movement reflects the fact that we're dreaming and we're looking around at stuff?
In the dream, yeah.
But now, how do we know for sure that... Well, I have great respect for you, Dr. Sandler, but I heard that you'd at one time been a veterinarian.
I was a veterinarian, but then I got my medical degree. Are we going to go through this again? Because if...
No, we're not going to go... Look at General, it's like me asking you, how do I know you really know your stuff? I know it says that you're a general, but weren't you once a private, you know?
I was a private in the same... In other words, he used to be a veterinarian... Not a veterinarian, but a
veterinarian.
A veterinarian. That's like he used to be a private in the Russian army, but now he's a general in the United States of the America. Well, by the same token, I...
Could you hold on for a minute, Phil, because there's a phone call coming in.
The general's talking to you.
I understand. I got to get... Hello, Dr. Sandler.
Should I... hold on.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah? Yeah? Yeah. Well.
Hey, Doc?
I'm sorry. I gotta get going. I'm sorry, Phil. I shouldn't have taken that call. So you're saying to me, General...
Well, it sounded... Was that a medical call or...
Yeah, it was a patient, and they were... they're suffering. I'm so sorry, but I have to take... I've had to take that call, Phil.
I understand.
All right, so I would say this to you, General. It's a fair question, but yes, I am a doctor.
All right, so you, as a doctor, you're saying...
Hold on, I'm so sorry. Hold on for a minute, Phil. Can you hold on?
One more time, Doc, and then we got to go.
I'm sorry, hold on. Hello? Hey. Yeah. Okay, I got to go. All right, Phil. I'm sorry, I've got a very sick patient.
Hold on for a minute.
What do you mean a sick patient?
I've got that person I just talked to is on death's door. What are you talking about?
Well, I'm listening to you go...
I don't know what you thought. I was talking to the family, yeah. And
well, were you talking... You said that person's on death's door?
That person is about ready to die. To die. You understand? What are you people saying?
Doc, we heard you answer the phone and go, laughing.
I am talking to... My bedside manner is none of your business, okay? My bedside manner is none of your business.
No, you're talking about your bedside manner for, man.
Yeah, that's grotesque.
I'm not talking about sex. I'm talking about... Oh, baby.
He's not talking about sex. He's talking about his bedside manner as a medical man. All right. We're talking here, Doctor... About what, Phil?
We have to break here. I think we have to break. Nikki, we're getting close. I want to just hold a thought there, Doc, because I want to get us back on track, and that is the sleep issue.
Right, we're talking about sleep, and this guy, not this guy, but General Shaw, who I respect all of a sudden, is can you hold on? I'm sorry, Phil. I really, honest to God, am.
I'm not going to keep doing this, you understand?
I just one more. Dr. Sandler? Yeah, Dr. Jim Sandler, hello? Yeah, I do too. I feel the same way. You know I do. I would never have. No, no, no. That's nothing. No, it's just it was a wound. No, it's got nothing to. Yeah. Okay, baby. Yeah. You put on that little. You got those blue panties. Okay. All right, Phil. That was an emergency.
Blue panties? Is that an emergency?
Dr. Sadler, seconds. Do you understand?
Oh, just hold on.
You guys are.
All right, we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And I'm not exactly sure what it is the doc's talking about there, but I can tell you right now, bud, I'm going to hang up on him.
Hey, Dr. Sadler, whatever it is you're talking about.
Hold on for a minute. We'll be right back here. We'll talk to him during the break. Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com. And we'll be back with Dr. Jim Sadler talking about insomnia, I think, or the blue panties, one of the two. Welcome back to the Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. We are, as of next week, we are a totally web online radio show or audio show or crazy thing. And that starts at 9 a.m. on the 17th. 9 a.m. on the 17th. Dr. Jim Sadler is with us. He is a longtime contributor to the Phil Hendry Show, one of our contributors, medical contributor. We're talking about insomnia. And with me also is General Galen Shaw, Margaret Gray, Bud Dickman, and Robert Leonard.
I'm sorry, Phil, can I say something?
Go ahead, Doc.
Does anyone else there in the studio have insomnia, or is it just Phil? I want to know, because there's differences in the modality. You know what I'm saying about the modality?
No.
There is a difference, personality, lifestyle. It all is very different from person to person.
Yeah, I do have it myself, Doc.
Bud, you suffer from insomnia as well. Now, what I'd like to do, Phil, is I want to see the difference between... all right, you're going to get angry. Please, Phil, please.
Look, Doc, if you're taking another phone call from the girl with the blue panties...
Phil, please don't be rude. That's terribly unfair.
Dr. Sadler, this is General Shaw.
General Shaw, I must take this call. Hold on.
You're called. You got some chick on the line with a blue panty, and we won't have it, I tell you.
Please, Doc. I mean, please, General. I'm the doc. Although I was looking in the mirror when I said that. Please, Doc, be fair with the General. Okay, I will. General, please, just hold on.
Boy, you're crackers. You know that? I'll tell you something right now, Sadler. You need a guy in a white jacket, a state vehicle, with the state of California emblem on the side.
Uh-huh. Hold on, will you? Hello?
And, hold on, General.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Yeah, of course I do.
Oh, come on, will you?
I gotta go. All right, Phil. What's your name?
Phil Hendry, and this is Bud Dickman.
All right. All right, now, Bud... How long does it take for you to fall asleep? Do you ever fall asleep?
What do you mean, do I ever fall asleep? At night?
Yes, at night.
Yeah.
You do? Okay, so you do fall asleep.
Yeah.
All right. How long does it take for you, Phil?
Well, I mean, ask me if I fall asleep. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't.
All right, sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. Now, Bud, how long does it take for you to fall asleep?
Probably about...
I should ask Phil that, because, Phil, how long does it take you, Phil? I'll ask Bud.
Will you make up your mind, okay?
I'm sorry, the chick with the...
See, the blue panties, huh?
I'm sorry. I mean, no, not the blue panties. It was a chick with the disease. The chick with the disease. The chick with the blue panties.
Different chick.
Right. Mr. Henry...
You know something, Dr. Sadler? I tried to defend you. I had you at our... Remember when I had you at our garden club meeting and our garden club luncheon?
Yeah. It was very nice. Very tastefully done.
Oh, well, isn't that nice? I try to defend you to people, and here you are with the blue panties, laughing like a lecherous old weird ass. I find this... And aren't you married?
Yes, I am married. Yes, I am, and I love my wife very much, and I'm very, very loyal to her. But we've had problems.
Look, Doc, if you start bawling and telling me about your problems, not only am I going to hang up on you, I'm going to drive to San Diego, and even though you're a weightlifter, I'm going to beat you up.
Wow. So you think...
Yeah, I know, because you guys with all of that muscle building, you got no flexibility. I bet you I could get a couple of shots in and drop you.
What up?
Yeah, you gotta do it, Mr. Aaron. Go down and see it.
I'd love to see that. Hell, if I were you, I'd sell tickets for it.
That's very unfair, Phil. It was also a threat. And if you've ever... Have you seen my arms? Have you seen my guns? Have you? Well, have you?
Yeah, I think he's seen your guns, yes.
I've seen your arms, yeah. I saw you that day on the freeway where you had the arm hanging out the window trying to intimidate people. I don't care.
And that didn't intimidate you?
Not at all.
Jesus. Must be something wrong with you. Maybe you're one of them, what do you call it, sociopaths or something like that. But anyway, so, Bud, how long does it take for you to fall asleep?
Probably about maybe a minute.
It takes you a minute, then. How often do you wake up during the night?
Not at all.
What do you do? You have insomnia?
You have insomnia?
Yeah, I think so.
Insomnia is not being able to sleep.
Insomnia? All right, then that's a different disease entirely, isn't it?
A different disease from what? What disease do you think you have?
Well, a disease, I wake up every morning. And
you're supposed to wake up every morning.
I know that. I know it, but I gotta go back right back to sleep, see? Because I'm still tired.
Well, you don't have insomnia, Bud. You may have iron poor blood.
What are you wasting our time for?
I don't know what he means.
Bud, just because you want to get more mic time doesn't mean you have to lie about things.
Don't waste my time, Dickman. Please, don't waste my time. I'm Dr. Jim Sadler, and I'm on the Phil Hendry Show. Wait a minute. I should only do that when I'm on my show.
Yeah, that's a good idea. All right, so the other problem that I've had is, can't believe you, man.
Well, you're talking about not being able to sleep.
You're not being able to, we're not talking about sleeping in, we're just talking about sleep.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, some of these guys you got working for you, Henry. You know what you should do? Go down here to the employment agency.
No, I'll take it under advisement, as we like to say. All right, Doc, now, what happened to me last night is I actually got some sleep. I got good quality deep sleep, but I woke up feeling very sluggish and drugged, and the reason was I had taken one half of a Unisom.
Okay, one half of a Unisom. I'm writing this down. Did you smoke any of the medical marijuana?
No, I did not.
Did you have any stimulants, any coffee?
I drink coffee sometimes during the show and sometimes I don't.
All right, drinking coffee. What about soda?
Sometimes a Diet Pepsi.
Do you drink any of the Mountain Dews or the different... do you have any of the different...
You're talking about, like, Monster?
Yeah, do you ever have a Monster or a Rockstar or a Popstar or any of the different ones like that?
No, the energy drinks?
Right. You ever have one of them?
No.
Ever have a Red Bull? Have you ever had one of them Four Locos?
I have not, no.
You haven't?
No.
I'd like to try one of those.
Are you asking Phil what he had, or...
Yeah, no, I am, but I was just curious what Four Loko... I would like to try it.
You're a doctor. People have died on that stuff.
I'm a doctor, which means I won't die on it, which means I'm not dumb, which means I know how to... God, just because people croak, Phil, I'm a doctor. I'm a doctor. You understand? Have you had any vaccinations over the last 6 months to a year?
No, I have not. What would that...
It's nothing. It's just something that I asked to. It's never mind. I just ask it to make it sound good.
Look, Doc, I'm not going to screw around with you, okay? I'm asking these questions because there are a lot of people that suffer with insomnia, and I do too, and that's why I'm asking you.
What? What did you just say?
I said I don't want to mess around with you, and I'm just asking because it sounds good, the chick with the blue panties and everything else.
Look, you're the guy who has a kid there that said he's got insomnia because he can't sleep in. All right, so I'm not the one that kicked off this hit parade. You did, Mr. Henry, not me, you. That's on you, not me. You put that fear in the men, I did not.
Okay, thanks a lot, Captain Bly.
You're welcome. Now, what do you mean, Captain Bly?
All right, tell you what.
Dr. Sadler, you only hurt your own credulity and credubidute... Your own credulity.
My own credibility.
No, your own credulity.
Well, I'm sorry, but I think the word is credibility.
Look, Sadler, you're in no position to be telling anybody anything.
What is this anyway? I come on the program, I'm getting jumped by everybody on the show.
Because you're not answering any questions with any degree of professionalism. You're talking about all kinds of kooky, weird stuff. Okay? And I don't care if you're a weightlifter. I don't care. You know, Doc, thanks a lot.
Right, so I'm going to get hung up on, and now I got to take more grief tomorrow morning when I go down to the gym, and as soon as I get my jock strap on, all of the hurt begins, all of the abuse begins, all of the heartache begins.
What are you smiling at?
As soon as I get the jock strap on, all the heartache begins?
Yeah, I bet you does.
For the other guys. whatever that means.
Oh, man, that was quasi-weird.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't say it.
I don't know why you talk about having heartbreak.
The Unisom is a over-the-counter drug, by the way, folks. It's not a prescription drug. My doctor will not prescribe me any sleep medication. And probably now I know why. There's got to be something, though. But I will say this. I took half of one, and it was fantastic. I mean, I slept like a rock. But when I woke up this morning, I was foggy. And so that's what I was trying to ask about.
Well, you're not going to get any answers out of that clown, that's for sure.
All right. I would think that maybe I should try a smaller dose.
Never tried it smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller until it's like, you know.
Yeah, just like a little teeny bit of it or something.
Well, at some point, it's not going to have any effectiveness. But I can tell you this much. What I took last night helped me sleep. But I was really, really just foggy, man, when I woke up. It took about a half an hour, but I felt a lot better. Right now, I'm sweating like a pig. It's hotter than hell in here, and it's probably about 30 degrees outside. I don't know what the hell's going on.
No, it's like a sun in here, Phil. Thank you very much for inviting me to work on a radio show where every night I feel like I've walked through the front door of the devil's own beach house. God, I hate it.
All right, we're going to be back on the Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Later on, folks, it is Brad Rifkin who will be talking with me about the proposed autobiography I write, In Your Wildest Hallucinations. And Brad will have some marketing ideas for me as we continue here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. You know, every day we are dropping a show highlight podcast on the Sideshow Network. It's also available on SoundCloud. You can find it on our Facebook fan page, which is Facebook.com/ Phil Henry Fans, PHANS. And so there is a 30-minute to 40-minute show highlight there. We also have a classic highlight, a classic podcast that we have for our subscribers, our Backstage Pass members, as well as over 5,000 hours of archived material, just different generations and different places and different things. And, you know, just it's there, man. It's a whole lot of it. The Phil Henry Show on our website. And when I say over 5,000 hours, I found a spreadsheet of the number of hours of radio that we've done, say, since 1999, and it's got to be more than 5,000 hours.
Well, you keep saying that, Phil, but until such time as you have someone count that stuff up, it's all just a big cluster you-know-what.
Yeah, I don't know, Phil.
Well, we're getting the show logs done. It's such an enormous archive. It's almost like if I really wanted to be crude and repugnant, and I would say it's almost like a man's, you know, like your manhood. Our archive is bigger, badder, thicker.
Would you stop, please? Because I'm getting a little bit. I'm disgusted by it, but it also turns me on a little bit. Oh, what a baby!
Come on, bud. Margaret, what are you talking about?
Do you really want me to explain?
No, I don't. But
that was grotesque. That, ew.
If you don't stop with the ooh, I'm going to reach over and I'll knock him cold.
Ew.
Ow!
She never even hit you, man. She swung at you.
Yeah.
But one of these days, man, she's really going to connect.
I can't wait for the day when she really connects. I'm serious. Because you remember that one day I did.
Yeah. Didn't hurt. Yes, it did. Yes, it did. I'm sorry.
All right. So yeah, it's a wild thing. All right. So our archive is a huge, massive, throbbing thing.
Well, there you say. You said throbbing. You see,
it's a big archive. So check it out at philhenryshow.com with a backstage pass. You have access to all of that and more, as well as a lot of video casts, a lot of old webcasts that we've done, other things, interviews and panels that we've been on, and TV pilots that we have produced or been involved in. A lot of stuff there at philhenryshow.com. Now, Brad Rifkin is coming up in just a moment here, and I do have my crew. I think we were going to talk about it. Well, to wrap up that whole insomnia thing.
You have to write things down. If you don't, Phil, you're lost. You're just lost. You come out of these breaks.
Yeah, Phil, and when you're taking that sleeping medicine.
Yeah, I know. I get going too fast, and there's too much that I'm doing, and there's too many things that I'm thinking about. An update here on the I wanted to do an update on the whole Malaysia flight thing. But I also want to tell you about a story that everybody's been asking me about, and this is Justin Bieber thing.
Well, this is, see, I, yeah, okay, good. I'm glad you're, yeah, uh-huh, mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah, what?
What are you talking about?
I'm glad you're doing this because we finally are going to get the cards on the table here.
What does that mean?
It means that I think Justin Bieber, as one of our very interesting and exciting young artists, is a young man who, because he has made a lot of young women very happy, a lot of teenage girls very happy, he's being, yes, I think there is a level of the persecution. Yes, I think there is a level of a chastisement that is wrong. Yes, I think there is a level of hurt that he has endured. Yes.
All right, Margaret, I get it, okay? He's being put upon by the...
Yeah, you think this guy's being put upon by the panda... By the panda bat... God.
The paparazzi? The paparazzi? Is that what you're trying to say?
The paparazzi, yeah.
What a... Bud, I... one of these days, when you get your mouth fixed, the panda-razzi.
You didn't say the panda-razzi.
Somebody did.
No, no one said the panda-razzi. Somebody said panda virus a few weeks ago, and that someone was me. All right, let's listen now to... This is Mr. Bieber being deposed. It's a deposition, and if you don't know what a deposition is, it's when you are... this is where the attorneys ascertain the facts of a case. You know, what exactly happened? What went on? Do we have a case? And they're allowed to depose individuals who may or may not be hostile to their case. And this takes place in a conference room. There's lots and lots of lawyers there, and there's the individuals, the principals in the case. So Mr. Bieber was being questioned here in this deposition, and I believe it had to do with a lawsuit brought by a photographer who might have gotten his head smacked by a bodyguard. It was in Miami last Thursday, defending himself in a case brought by photographer Jeffrey Binion. The photographer claims that Bieber ordered four of his bodyguards to forcibly remove the memory card from Binion's camera after he took photos of Bieber outside a recording studio, the Hit Factory, in June of 2013. So TMZ got a hold of this video from the deposition, and here is one of the clips. The first one here is, I think, of Mr. Bieber just sort of being, as they say, arrogant with the questioning attorney. This is Mr. Binion's attorney.
Remember earlier today when I asked you?
No.
Why don't you listen to what I had to say first? And then maybe you'll tell me yes or no.
I don't have to listen to anything you have to say.
Clarify my question. Do you have a question about my question?
Today is
you
not
have
for
the right
to
be clear
over.
For you to be able to be
Mr.
clear.
Do
you remember being in Australia ever?
I don't know if I've been to Australia. I've been to Australia?
Are you aware that Scooter Braun knows that your bodyguards have attacked photographers?
What? Objection to form. What kind of question is that? That didn't make sense.
That's correct.
That doesn't make sense. That's
He's
a weird question.
Defending himself
here, Phil. Can you just ask some foundation?
I didn't hear your response. I
didn't finish.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't want to interrupt.
Oh, really? You didn't want to interrupt.
Is it true that you know that your security guards will punch, grab, and push, perhaps, if they need to?
I object.
Would you please look at the film that's up there? Go ahead and start.
This is a film?
Pause it. Would you please watch the television?
You said it's a film. You said watch the film. Is this a film?
Is there a difference between a film and something else?
Yes.
So yes or no answer required, right?
My lawyer's asking you a question.
Please, sir.
My lawyer's asking you a question.
I'm not here to answer his questions. You're here to answer mine. Have you ever disciplined Mr. Hesney?
Disciplined? What kind of question is that? Is he my son? Guess what?
Question?
Guess what? I don't recall.
Am I going off the video record or has that been?
Well,
all right, so there it was.
Why, that little... Someone ought to take that kid and pound his face in on... Oh, baby.
Wait just a moment. I want to say something.
Go ahead.
Justin Bieber is one of our fine young artists.
Well, Margaret, why don't you get with the real world, okay?
I'm the mother of an actor, so I know. That attorney was very aggressive, and I know it sounds as if I'm trying to defend a spoiled brat. No, he's not. He's very talented. He's defending himself from the very aggressive handling of a man who obviously doesn't know. You see, forget it.
What's the matter? I'm listening to you.
Yeah, but all four of you guys with the rolled eyeballs, I know what it means.
Yeah, but can't we even just have a rolled eyeball?
Well, I'm not going to waste my breath on a bunch of guys sitting here going, oh, well.
Well, Margaret, you know, he was really rude there.
He was rude, don't you think?
He was defending himself from this guy asking him a lot of questions. It's none of his business.
What about the one question, you know, would you watch the film? Is this a film? Is this a film? What's that about?
It was a video. It wasn't a film. Oh.
Well, Margaret, are you kidding? If I were in there, I would have headlocked Bieber and repeatedly rammed his head.
You better watch it because you can't say that. Otherwise, it sounds like an online threat. Although we're not online yet, but next week we will be online, so it will be an online threat.
What will?
If the general says...
I'm going to say it. I don't care who hears it. If I were Bieber, I would take my own head.
If you were Bieber...
No, hold on. If I were that attorney, I'd headlock Bieber and continually... I would take a three-step...
You'd take a three-step what?
I'd take a three-step running start, ram the head. Go back three steps, ram the head.
What? That's too much work.
You know, General, you think you've got more energy than you... Justin Bieber, I can assure you, would probably handle you no problem.
Oh, wow. 10 seconds. Okay, we got to take a break. We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. I'll be right back.
You don't think I can do it, huh? You watch me. You watch me.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, and online at the Listen Live on our website. Just listen live. You don't need a backstage pass to hear the show live each and every night. And starting on the 17th, each and every morning, you just hit Listen Live, and you can hear it on your mobile phone if you want. You can hear it on your desktop. And so it really renders moot the whole question of, hey, Phil, are you on in Calgary? Yeah. Wherever you have a smartphone, that's where we are. It's weird.
That's really going to take getting used to for a lot of people, isn't it?
When you say smartphone, what do you mean?
The thing you've got there. That's a smartphone.
No, this is an iPhone.
Dang, it's the same thing.
Oh, it's the same thing.
Yeah, the smartphone is like either a droid.
Well, no, don't do that. If you start talking about droid, you know, I don't like the whole idea of...
It's not an Android, you know that.
No, I know that, but I just don't know.
All right, but that's a smartphone. So wherever you are, wherever your smartphone is, you can hear the show. And that's about as... I can't get much more... I can't make it any clearer than that. I think it's just a matter of people don't want to do things different. I don't want to get political, but every single solitary thing that is introduced that's new, okay? Like I said, I'm not going to be political. I'm not bringing up any issue.
Talk about health care reform, ain't you?
Would you be quiet, man?
Well, you are.
No, I'm not. All I'm saying is anything that is new that requires people to get a little bit of a learning curve going. It could be fantastic. It might be something that really benefits them. It might be something that's great. It might be the greatest thing in the world. I bet you, for instance, I'll give you a better example. If they finally came up with a way to, let's say that men, they found a way to cure male pattern baldness. I mean, absolutely for sure cure male pattern baldness. And I mean, you would like grow hair. Like tomorrow, I could walk in here tomorrow and have like a Dr. Zorba cut, you know.
What's that?
Like Don King.
You ever built like Don King, Missouri?
Why would you want to have hair like that?
I'm just saying, if I had a big bunch of hair, right? And if what it took to get that Don King hair...
Well, you said Don.
You, yeah.
What?
I'm sorry to interrupt, but Bud's right. You did say the word dong.
Don King. Don King.
I know, Phil, but you said Don King.
You did, Phil. Don't you want them to point these moments out where there's filth?
Yeah. What? No, okay, forget it.
What a baby.
No, forget it. All right, I'll finish.
Zed Don King.
I heard that. So what I'm saying is, if the hair, if it required anything other than just pushing a button or getting or taking a pill, if it required, for instance, me having to read something in a book and understand what I had to do to go get all this hair, I bet you it would become nobody'd want it. You know, people would be bitching about it for a year, 2 years, 3 years, until you finally told them, well, here's how it's done, and it's really easy. And
well, what about like driving a car? Wasn't that difficult?
That's a great example. Automobiles were considered to be absolute. They were considered to be the work of the devil. Telephones, people didn't like. People bitched about telephones. They said that, guess what they said about telephones? The same thing they said about computers. It's going to take us away from interacting with people. That's exactly what they said about telephones. They said, now we're going to be on the telephone, and we won't be having person-to-person communication. It's, you know, it's all going to be on the phone.
It's going to make people communicate more.
We and you and I know that now, bud. We know that it didn't take away from actual personal communication. But back then, it doesn't matter, you know. And like I said, I don't want to be political, but so much of what is being said now around the whole healthcare thing, so much of it has to do with that. Because I saw this article, this lady, she was saying that she had leukemia and that when she got Obamacare, it was going to cost her all this money. And they actually did the math for her, and it turned out she was saving $1,000, and she didn't even believe it. She had to have somebody else do it for her because she refused to do it.
Well, you're getting too political, Phil.
Yeah, you're talking about... You know, don't go there with me, this whole Obamacare thing. I won't hear it. I will have none of it.
All right, I'm sorry I brought it up. I'm just, but my point is, new stuff freaks people out. Okay.
Now, I saw you getting all upset with the Bieber tapes.
Yeah, I'm going to get on the phone here. Our friend Brad Rifkin. Forget the Bieber tapes, okay? Because...
Well, what were you upset about?
I can't get anything done around here. Because there was some bleed happening, and I was trying to get something recorded, and it was just too loud.
Yeah, you're getting all pissy about it, though.
I'm going to get pissy, bud. Hey, you know what? Everyone back off. So is Brad there?
I got to call him up. Man, you're supposed to call him during the break.
I'm sorry. I should have reminded him.
Call him up. Brad Rifkin is going to join us, and we'll talk about the autobiography that I'm supposed to write or proposing to write, which is, of course, entitled In Your Wildest Hallucinations.
You should tell the story how you got that.
I've told it. It's from a Clint Eastwood movie. All right. Brad Rifkin in Las Vegas, Nevada. Not Las Vegas, Nevada with us. Brad, how are you?
I'm good, Phil. I'm not in Nevada. I'm in Nevada. I just thought I'd jump on the bandwagon. It sounds like everybody breaking your chops over all these little things.
Well, they do. You know, if I mispronounce anything.
Yeah, they like it when they say when you lisp, you know. And Bud Dickman, who I think is a great kid, and I've been talking to Bud for... But, Bud, you are not the guy to start telling people what they, you know, how they sound like a retard. I shouldn't say retard, but...
You're not supposed to say that.
I understand I'm not supposed to say that, but...
Don't worry about it, Brad. I understand where you're going, and thank you for defending me. I think people that live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones.
There you go, right there.
Well, technically...
No, not technically nothing. Don't be telling me about lisping. And I don't lisp all the time, only when I make a mistake.
Well, that we know of. I mean, Brad, we don't know what goes on.
About what?
Well, when Phil leaves here and goes home, we don't know if he's lisping around the house. We don't know. And this is not about your sexuality, Phil. Simply, behind the scenes, are you prancing about the home, you know?
What does that mean, prancing about?
Phil, we're not talking about you. We're not saying you're gay.
Oh, I don't care if you were saying it, but I mean, is that what you think?
No, we know you're straight, but when you go home, are you flitting about from bedroom to bedroom in just a pair of slippers with nothing else going, listen, are you doing that?
What the hell?
It's a fair question, Phil. I think a lot of us win our private moments.
No, I'm not doing anything like that. If I was, I'd be happy to tell you.
Well, I wouldn't want to tell anyone if I was skipping from one room to the next in a small terry cloth robe and saying, listen, it's so nice today. You know, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, it's a very good point, General. Thank you.
Well, I worked at the battalion level on strategy, and
what has that got to do with anything? I don't know.
We're just saying, Phil, you don't know about people.
Well, you know something? No, we don't know about people. Maybe I don't know about you.
Yeah, that's a good point, too, Phil. What do we know about Margaret? You know, hey, Margaret, maybe you go home and put something on that you can only buy that comes in a box.
Oh, my God. All right, take it easy. He's kidding around. No, I won't sit still for that. I'm going out. I got to get some air. Jesus.
Hey, Phil, I'm sorry if I overstepped my bounds.
Well, she's Margaret.
I'm getting air. I'm breathing.
She went out, get a air.
Okay, I heard that. Brad, welcome to the show. Want to ask you a question.
I'm breathing.
We got it, Margaret. So people have asked me to write stuff down through the years, and I've never known what it was I was going to write until one day the phrase, in your wildest hallucinations, hit me, and because it's from a movie that I like called The Gauntlet.
Yeah, and I know the scene you're talking about. I love the scene with Clint Eastwood coming down from the cave.
Right, right. And so he says, you know, about there'll be more drugs, more drug-sniffing dogs, more helicopters than in your wildest hallucinations. So I thought, well, there's a really good title for an autobiography.
Well, now, the question is, why would you call it? Is it because your show, your art, your creativity has been almost like one big hallucination? Because that's what it strikes me that way, you know.
It strikes me that way. When I listen to you, Phil, sometimes it's as if I'm hallucinating, you know. It's so wild and way out there. You know?
Yeah, it's some people have told me that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I suppose that would be one reason why I would call it that. And the other thing is hallucination is a sort of baby boomer term. Maybe we should replace it with dream or something like that.
Well, I think it's a good title, and I think, but I wanted to know the genesis of that, the matrix of that, where it begins. And then we can talk about what we want to incorporate into the book. And how we want to, whether you want to do an e-book or whether you want to do a published book.
All right, let's take a break. Brad Rifkin with us from Rifkin Advertising here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we talk about the possibility of a autobiography by yours truly. And I really am not comfortable talking about myself like this, but hey, you know, it's kind of what, it's kind of the topic, I guess.
I was breathing, now I'm back, I got air.
So you got some air, good. Margaret Gray's back with us.
Phil, don't be sarcastic. I was outside taking a good deep breath. Otherwise, save me from a homicide charge.
All right, we'll be right back. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're live mobile on Listen Live and live and mobile on TuneIn. Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Brad Rifkin on the phone with us from Rifkin Advertising. And we're having I'm having fun tonight, don't get me wrong, but it's just, there have been stops and starts.
Well, every show's a stop. Can you turn that down, bud? I can't hear myself think.
I'm trying to listen to music.
We're not listening to music around. Turn it down, bud.
Every show is a stop and a start. What are you looking at, bud?
I take my orders from Mr. Henry.
Let me tell him.
All right, Phil, I don't want to just be competing with that garbage. I don't know what that was.
The late Ronnie Montrose, that's who it was.
All right, Phil, I apologize. I'm sorry.
Oh, God. But yeah, I have respect about it.
I don't know who... What was the man's name?
Margaret, just drop it, okay?
Well, no, who was it?
Ronnie Montrose, the late great.
Well, it's... All right, I'm sorry. It sounded like garbage to me. I don't know.
Well, that's great. You know, and I tell you what, Margaret, probably Jason J. Delmonico's acting looks like some kid stumbling around the stage with one leg shorter than the other. What do you think of that?
Turn that down.
Oh, look at this.
No, turn. What did you say? What did you say?
I'm going to say it again. Maybe Jason J. Delmonico, his acting...
Never mind.
Oh, she's walking out.
Where are you going, Margaret?
I'm getting some air.
Damn, son, that's a pretty cold shot, you know?
Yeah.
What's a cold shot?
Stumbling around like with one leg sort of, you know?
Well, I don't know. I mean, she's talking about Ronnie Montrose. That man just passed on about a year or two ago. It's a great guitar player. The garbage. Everything with Margaret is garbage, you know?
I didn't say it was garbage until I found out. Then I said it wasn't.
What?
I said it was garbage, then I found out a guy dead.
It's probably doing shorthand.
Get Mr. Rifkin on the phone. Get him up on the line here, okay?
I already called him on the phone.
Get him on the line. Brad, are you there?
Yeah, Phil, I'm right here. Listen, my Margaret was using shorthand on you, if you heard that.
Are you using shorthand?
No.
Yeah, she is.
I said Montrose, good garbage bad.
Yeah, you are, and I can't understand it.
Yeah, I don't like that shorthand either. I think it's a really bad idea. I know that Danger's a proponent in a lot of people. I think it makes it sound like a guy is some kind of a Todd. And I don't mean to use that word.
Let's get off that word. How did that start leaking back into the conversation around here?
I didn't use it.
Well, Phil, I think it's a terribly offensive word. But there are times when words do it, you know, words fail you, and you got to go for the cheap shot. And
I apologize, Phil.
All right. Getting back to the autobiography.
I didn't call Ronnie. I'm sorry, Phil. I didn't mean to call Ronnie Montrose garbage.
No, you called his music garbage.
I apologize.
All right, and I apologize what I said about Jason J. Delmonico.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
What am I listening to?
I'm sorry, I got the television up here in the back. I hope you don't mind. I got, you know, my son is watching TV here with me.
All right, Brad, this idea of an autobiography that I want to write, what is the first instinct you as an advertiser, you as a promoter, you as a guy that's going to be in charge of doing the press relations, doing the public relations, doing the book signings, what are your thoughts?
Well, the first thing you got to ask yourself, do you want to do an e-book? Or do you want to be published by a reputable publishing house, you know?
We were talking about the e-book the other day, Brad.
Yeah. The e-book is, a lot of people opt for the e-book. Now, the e-book is a book that is online, and you can't get a copy of a paper version of it. You got to read it right there on the computer. Okay, or I guess you can print it off. I think you can. Well, I'm not really sure. But anyway, an e-book is a good one to write because you don't have to. In other words, you can write it yourself and just publish it. You see what I mean?
Well, what about this girl that was telling Phil and everybody? She sold billions of copies. She wrote I read up later, Phil. It was a fantasy book.
Yeah, I know the girl you're talking about.
Yeah, she wrote a fantasy about all kinds of wild fantasies and hallucinations.
Well, what kind of fantasies were these?
You talking about sex?
No, I'm not talking about sex, Dickman. God almighty, is your mind continually bathing in the underbelly,
All right, so you're not talking about sex. It was a fantasy book. She published this online. She has sold millions of copies. I don't know how many she sold for whatever money, and it's doing very well, right?
That is exactly right. It's doing very well.
You know, I don't know about the e-book, though, Phil. Who reads them?
He just said there's millions of people. I bought two e-books. Actually, I've bought three e-books so far, and I've read them. They're historical books.
Was that the one you told me about, this Abraham Lincoln, this guy,
Yeah, that guy, Abraham Lincoln, yeah.
I know who he is. I'm just saying, is that the one?
One of them was about Lincoln's assassination commission. The other one was a logbook from the Bounty, and the other one was the transcript of the trial of the mutineers. I realize it's real weird, historical, you know, geeky, you know, history geek stuff, but I purchased all three of those as e-books.
Those books, ain't they paper, too?
What does that mean, ain't they paper, too? Do you know about e-books?
No, I don't. I'm not really familiar with it because it sounds cheap. It sounds real cheap, you know, cheap-ass. Excuse my language.
I don't think you need to use that kind of language.
Well, Margaret, I think it describes... The e-book is real cheap, you know, just a real cheap, creep way. Now, I know that a lot of people do it, but don't you want to have... Phil Hendry, the autobiography of Phil Hendry, published by, Penguin, like the Penguin?
What do you mean the Penguin?
The Penguin, you know.
Penguin Books.
Yeah, Penguin Books.
Is that the same?
No, man, it's Batman. That's stupid.
The Penguin, no, bud.
I know it's not the guy from Batman, but was it inspired by Batman?
No, it was not inspired by Batman, no. Penguin Books is a long, long-time publisher of books, mostly paperbacks, right?
Yeah, I think Penguin does the paper. And then you have Harper and Row, and you have Simon and Schuster, and you have Simon and Simon. And that's a joke, you know, Simon and Simon from the TV show, Mr. Hendry?
Yeah, that's funny.
Well, he's trying to lighten the mood, Phil.
Hey, let me tell you what. You know, we don't need the mood lightened. Everything's fine. Everyone's feeling good.
I said Simon and Simon.
Yeah, what about Simon and Garfunkel, too?
Yeah, Simon and Garfunkel. That's another... What's the story? Can't we laugh?
Well, yes, you can laugh at an appropriate time. I'm trying to figure this thing out. So, what am I hiring you to do?
What are you talking to me?
Yeah, I'm talking to you.
You're hiring me for my expertise, the stuff that I know and what I do. I will set up the book signings. I can set up displays, the press releases, press conferences, the tour, the book tour, see? And then the other thing, Phil, when you are with a big company, see, they advance you like about $1 million, see? And
oh, that is true, Phil. You get an advance from a big publisher. When you write an e-book, you're sitting there waiting for the money to come in, don't you?
Yeah, you got to sit. If you write an e-book, you got to sit like that little girl that wrote those fantasy books. She got to sit there on her rear end. And she's waiting, and she's waiting, and she's waiting. You know, when's the money going to start rolling in? You don't know. You'll never know. And no one's treating you like... See, you're just sitting there in your kitchen in your pajamas, and you're waiting for somebody to go, oh, yeah, that's a great... But you got to take all kinds of crap. I think if you publish a book, and then they give you about $1 million, see... Man, that guy you're living...
Mr. Henry, that sounds like the way to go.
Let me tell you about the $1 million. You know that that's an advance.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
You don't know this, Margaret? It's an advance.
Well, technically, all right. You know, that's got nothing to do with it.
Are you saying that you got to pay it back?
Yes, you got to pay it back. You know you got to pay it back. All that money is an advance that you got to make up with the sale of your book. And if you don't, you owe the publisher money.
Well, you don't want to emphasize that part. You want to emphasize... I'm trying to emphasize the part to you where you get a check for $1 million. Think about that. And
isn't that exciting, Phil?
No, it's not exciting if I've got a check sitting in front of me for $1 million knowing that I have now got to sell at least $1 million worth of books. I can't do anything with that check.
What do you mean you can't do anything with it?
Well, you can take a vacation, can't you? Or...
No, I can't take a I'm not going to do anything with that check until I sell enough books to cover the check.
Boy, are you kidding me or something, Henry? You're the only guy I've ever heard of that gets a check for $1 million.
That's why a lot of these young artists, young authors, and people like that get into trouble. We'll be right back here with Brad Rifkin. Boy, am I glad I'm talking to this guy.
Phil, you're raining all over the man's parade.
No, I'm not. Brad ought to know better. I'm not going to leave the impression here that... Somehow, if I go with a big-time publisher, I'm going to get a check for $1 million, and it's Party City.
Well, you're doing a check for $1 million.
I would think you'd want to have at least one cocktail.
I'm not going to have a cocktail if I know that I've got to pay that money back. I got to make up that $1 million in book sales. There ain't no party happening until I actually cover the $1 million. What's wrong with you guys, you know?
No, don't ask me what's wrong with me. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with... All of us.
Yeah. All right, we'll be back. Phil Henry Show.
That's pretty dramatic.
Woo-hoo! Welcome back to world-famous Phil Henry Show. PhilHenryShow.com. I like this song. Always have liked this song. Always will like this song.
Oh, I remember this from Deer Hunter. As he's in Vietnam to look for his lost friend, and he's there in the strip bar in Saigon, some dark, seedy, stinky...
Oh, that brings back some memories for me.
You remember that, Phil? And he's looking for his friend, the friend that played Russian Roulette.
Yeah, Robert De Niro is there. He's trying to find Christopher Walken.
And he walks into the strip bar with those little Vietnamese girls dancing, and this song is playing, and suddenly you're cast back to those dark days... The Vietnam thing, you know.
Who said they were dark days? Why, I was,
General.
Oh, I mean, I'm sorry, yes, Steve.
What were you doing, running a dice game? That's what you were doing, running a dice game, weren't you?
Margaret?
Running a dice game, weren't you?
Take it easy. Phil Henry Show and PhilHenryShow.com. I'll have none of it, thank you. Now, Margaret, you wanted to hear this song because you had the lyric sheet out, and were you going to be doing a version of this?
Yes, go ahead and hit it. Hit it, bud. Yeah.
Margaret Gray, ladies and gentlemen, got the lyric sheet to it and everything.
That's right, I have the lyric sheet to it and everything. I like this song because it reminds me of Frank, because one day... Frank was standing there, and the wind blew Frank in my direction.
All right, Margaret. I caught it in my hand. What? Turn that off.
Oh, I'm having some fun.
Don't you get it? The wind blew Frank.
Yeah, the wind blew Frank in her direction.
Boy, what a pain in the ass, Phil. Can't you have any fun at all?
Phil, you're really getting crotchety in your old age.
I'll let you sing it later on. Do you mind? Because I got Brad on the phone.
Whatever.
Boy, look at you. You know, if I'm talking about something that you care about, you're all over it like white on rice, man. But if we're talking about something I want to talk about, then you're singing Moonlight Feels Right and the wind's blowing Frank in your direction.
Yeah, who wants to know?
Phil Henry Show. All right, so Brad Rifkin, for a few minutes here, just, you know, just a couple of more minutes is all we're asking. This is all we require. This is all we, you know, it's not like I'm asking the world here, Brad, and I'm sure you understand, huh?
Oh, yeah, you know, but hey, Margaret, I know you're having fun, and I love to listen to you sing, Margaret. I want you to know that.
Thank you, Brad, very much.
I liked the when you did the Christmas songs. We always listen to it.
So, Brad, e-books. Tell me the pluses and the minuses. You don't think the e-book is worth it. I'm telling you that $1 million advance that the publishers give you, you got to pay back.
All right. Well, I mean, if you got to pay it back, you got to pay it back. But why are you emphasizing that? Why don't you emphasize it's $1 million, you know?
Because that's how artists get into trouble.
Well, let's back off of this whole artist thing, because you know what? These days, books are being written by every kind of... You know, I don't want to be offensive, but books are being written by every kind of brain-dead slob. I shouldn't say brain-dead slob. Books are being written by every sort of person that is not the most good writer, you know, and...
In other words, people like you, Brad?
Jesus, man.
Margaret, that wasn't necessary.
What a shot.
Well, you're talking about brain-dead slobs.
Is that what I am to you? I just got done complimenting your singing, and this is what you say to me.
But no, I'm all right, I'm sorry, but you're saying they don't write good and this and that. Look, people are telling their story, and everyone, as the Desiderata tells us, everyone has a story to tell. Oh, the wind blew the... What?
All right, thank you very much.
Boy, you are... You know, if I didn't know better, Margaret, I'd say you're the one that's been packing her nose tonight.
So you think... Did you hear this? He thinks I got the sugar up the...
Well, Margaret, you are kind of squirrely.
Yeah, you're acting a little on a squirrely edge of life.
I mean, it's not just me.
I feel good. Is there something wrong with that? When you feel good, Phil, it's funny how I feel good.
Yeah, I guess that's what's going on here. I got enough sleep last night, so everybody got sleep, huh?
I know, I feel refreshed.
All right, so, Brad, the $1 million advance being what it is, it sounds good, but it is something that has to be paid back. And as I recall, as a matter of fact, it wasn't too long ago, there was a book that was written by a celebrity, and this was a celebrity that had taken the $1 million. It wasn't Jackie Collins or who's Jackie Collins's sister?
You're talking about Joan Collins.
It wasn't Joan Collins. It was somebody. The book was rejected by the publisher. The publisher had given this individual about $1 million advance, I think, something like that.
Right.
And this is a true story. You know this one, Margaret?
I know the story. I don't know who you're... I'm like you. I can't remember who it was.
Anyway, they were in court, and the celebrity, I think, had actually taken the publisher to court, and this person did not have a leg to stand on, because what happened was the finished product that was delivered to the publisher by this celebrity was, in the words of the publisher, unreadable. It was just a mess. They wouldn't publish it. They'd already given the advance, and this individual, this celebrity that had written this book, had spent the money as if it was the salary or the agreed upon money that would be paid for services rendered as a writer, and they didn't understand that this is money that had to be paid back.
So what did the publisher was looking to get their money back?
The publisher was looking to recoup their money, and the celebrity turned around and sued the publisher because that was the only thing she could do. She suddenly realized she was up against it, so she sued them for a breach of contract. I don't know how this thing came down, but you could probably Google it.
Well, you can Google it and look up wretched writing and spent the $1 million on...
Yeah, done on Botox.
Well, I don't know. Spent the $1 million on some kind of a... Nowadays, everyone's trying to get their, you know, their derriere. Probably spent the $1 million on getting a fat... Getting their ass?
Probably get the ass fat.
Getting ass fat, yeah.
I don't know what to spend it on. I'm just saying, Phil, it's sexier for the headline to say Phil Henry gets $1 million for his autobiography.
I don't really care. I'm not interested in being hung with a million-dollar bill to pay. I'm just not interested in that.
Well, that's the only way you're going to get a big publisher to publish you.
Well, it doesn't have to be $1 million, you know. I mean, you can get an advance for what?
What are you going to get an advance for, 50 grand? Why would a publisher even want to waste their time with an author? This guy can sell $50,000 worth of books. Big deal. No one's going to care. No big-time publisher's going to care. So you got to come to the publishing house with a story so big, so full of, ready to rock and roll, that it's gonna sell to the tune of a lot of money. Maybe not a million, maybe a half a million, something like that.
All right, well, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I haven't even written the book yet.
It doesn't matter. That celebrity hadn't written the book, and she got $1 million. And another thing...
All right, Margaret, I know. And what we could do is look up who that is. So what do you think the book should... It's an autobiography.
Right. Well, it should be a book that starts at the beginning. Here's the thing about writing any book. No matter what you're writing about, the first line has got to really grab the reader. Think about Moby Dick, all right?
What's it called?
It's called Moby Dick, bud, and before you start going off on that, it was a whale.
You thought about Moby Dick? You mean the whale book.
Yeah, the whale book.
All right, okay, we done with that?
Yeah.
All right, the first line of Moby Dick, I am, call me, what's the guy's name? Ishmael. Call me Ishmael. Huh?
Yeah.
That don't grab you.
Well, I mean, I understand, for the times.
That don't grab me.
Look, you guys gotta go with me. That was a grabber for those days, all right? All right, I got a better one. Charles Dickens, when he wrote Tale of Two Cities, the opening line... it was the best of times, it was the worst of times.
Oh, that's one of the classic opening lines of all times. Yes, I know.
What's that mean?
Hey, bud, just, take it easy, huh?
What's up with the take it easy? Are you telling me to take it easy?
Oh, he's going to start to snivel down?
That is, Charles Dickens is writing about the French Revolution. And the opening line is, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. Meaning, it was quite literally that. It was the best of times, but it was also the worst of times. In Paris, and the two cities are Paris and London.
Did you read it?
No.
Well, you know a lot about a book that you haven't read.
Well, I mean, I've studied Charles Dickens. I've read a lot of his books.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So your book needs to have a grabber like that.
Why can't Mr. Henry start with that?
Start with what?
The best of time and the worst of time.
Is this guy for real?
But I'm not going to start my book out with a line that another guy used.
Well, it doesn't make any difference.
Yes, it does make some difference. Oh, okay, here's Phil Henry's. First of all, no one's going to think it's all that original. They won't like it. It'll suck, and they won't want to read it.
What about, my name is Ishmael?
Are you serious? You're looking at me with a serious look on his push. You ought to see this.
You think the guy ought to start his book with They Call Me Ishmael?
Well, but he said he couldn't use the other one.
Why is Mr. Henry going to start his book with They Call Me Ishmael?
But he said I'll grab a line.
I gotta come up with my own line that's a grabber, not somebody else's.
How's the Bible start?
In the beginning, there. That's the Bible starts,
Well, that's not very sexy, is it?
Well, I don't know the Bible. It's hard to knock the Bible. The opening line, in the beginning, huh? That's pretty good,
Yeah.
Oh, get a load of you guys, your critics. All of a sudden, it's called the Bible, man. That thing is sold like hotcakes. That is, selling that Bible like hotcakes. You don't know about that, huh?
Yeah, I know about it.
So what do you think a good line would be like this? My name is Phil Henry, and I've got 30 seconds to live. Something like that, you see?
My name is Phil Henry, and I've got 30 seconds to live.
Yeah, something that's going to... The reader's going to go, wow, I got to read this. Yeah, Ernest Hemingway's got a book like that. It's called The Killers, and it starts out with this guy saying, I'm about to be killed. And he goes back and tells the story of how everything went to hell in a handcart, about how he's going to be dead and everything.
Oh, that's bitching, man. So the guy's already dead?
Well, he's about to be dead. But he's going to tell the story of how he's going to be dead. And he's going to tell the story of how he got dead, see? Well, not got dead, but how he's going
to
be...
Yeah, he's, in other words, he's bringing the reader up to the present moment where he's about to meet his end.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So what we need from you is, where were you born, Phil?
Pasadena, California.
All right, in Pasadena, California, a real slob was born. You see, I know you're not a slob, But you gotta...
I think we get the idea, Brad. It's gotta be a grabber. But most of the things you're coming up with...
What is with this, a real slob?
No, you're not a slob. You know?
Well, does it have to be negative?
No, it doesn't have to be negative. Just... Phil, hi, my name is Phil. This is my story. And at the end of this book, I'll probably be arrested. So you gotta, you know...
Yeah, probably true, too.
Yeah, that's the one thing to say that would be true.
Why are you guys saying that?
I don't know.
So I get what you're saying, though. It has to be a very, speaking of arrested, it has to be a very arresting line.
There you go, bingo. It's got to be an arresting line. Now, once you come up with that, then the book writes itself.
Well, I think it takes a little bit more than that.
Now, hold on for a minute. I just want to ask one thing here, Rifkin. I just want to ask you something, Rifkin, because I feel, you know, very close to Phil, and I feel protective of him. And I don't know what your game is, Rifkin. But something about it bothers me. Something about it smells pretty bad.
Look, General, I'm here to try to make everybody look good. I want everyone to get well, all right?
Listen, Rifkin, what is your angle anyway?
What are you all of a sudden, Mickey Spillane? Take it easy.
Look, all I want you to do, Phil, is write a book and have it sell a whole bunch of copies, and we all get well.
All right, Brad, thank you very much. It's been great talking to you. We'll see what we can do.
You got it.
Brad Rifkin there.
I agree with the general. There's something up with that guy.
There's something about that guy that smells rotten.
I don't think so. I think Brad's, he was very conversant with those opening lines, you know.
Bad Tale of Two Cities.
You know something, Bud? When all of a sudden a classic like Tale of Two Cities, in your mouth, it turns into, it's like,
It's like just wadded up bubblegum.
Yeah, it's about 150 pounds of chewed bubblegum.
All right, let's take a break and come back here on this... The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and then I think Margaret is going to be offering... Are you going to be singing this?
Well, yes, it's no big deal. I just wanted to do my freeform lyrics to Moonlight Feels Tight.
Feels right.
Well, it may... to me, it feels tight. I don't know.
We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show. The wind is...
Hello, everyone. I'm Margaret Gray, and I'm going to sing one of my all-time favorites for you using my philosophy of the freeform lyric. You know this group as Starbuck. They later founded the coffee chain, and the song goes something like this. The wind blew the feet de dee de dee dee. I caught it in my hands today. Frank looked at me and smiled.
Okay, hold on, hold on.
Phil,
hold on for a minute.
Phil, we're going on the web platform next week. We can say anything we want.
Well, maybe next week we can.
Oh, instead, it's just she caught Frank in her hand.
Yeah, uh-huh.
All right, let me just freeform it, okay? For God's sake, Phil, I built the audience up.
All right, but just please watch it, will you?
Yeah, okay.
You want me?
Yeah, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, Margaret Gray.
I love this song. It's called Moonlight Feel Right. Boom! The wind blew some luck in my direction. I caught it in my hands today. I finally made a tricky French connection. 80 pounds of horse. I'm sorry, I was thinking about the heroin.
Turn it off. Turn it off.
Talk about the horse.
Turn off the horse. 80 pounds of horse.
I didn't mean to do that, Phil. I was thinking of the movie. Why does it mention French connection?
Are you talking about the French connection?
What's the Fink connection?
Yeah, it's the French. You can say it good, Phil. You're an announcer.
French connection.
That's it. The French connection. Why do they have that in there?
I don't know. The movie had just come out. You know, the movie had come out about 3 years before that. It was a big freaking thing. I don't know.
Well, I don't get it. The whole thing's pretty far out to me.
Well, why do you want to sing the song then?
So I can do it my way. Okay?
You said it, Margaret.
I'll do it my way.
Yep. You absolutely said a mouthful. Well, I didn't mean to say mouthful.
That's all right. I've left. I've bled. I've dee-dee. Do-do-do-do. You know the song. Do-do-do-do-do.
I know it.
Da-da. La-dee-dee-dee. And so I say, with no confusion... My friends, I've climbed the heights, and now I think I'll do it my way. What's more than this, I'm doing it Frank's way.
Get the Frank's way.
Well, that's what it is to me.
All right, well, are you going to be doing that song this weekend?
I don't know. Why do you ask?
Well, why are you doing the song? Usually there's something you're promoting.
Yes, this weekend we'll be back at Melvin's Ranch. That's Melvin's Ranch in La Crescenta, 2321 La Crescenta Boulevard, Melvin's Ranch. Two drink cover, two shows, 8 and 10, two big shows. And I think we're going to have the Earl Haynes combo with us.
How many guys are in that group?
I don't know, Phil. It's a combo. So it. What do you mean, how many guys are in the group?
Well, I just wondered. I mean, a quartet has four guys.
I think it's just Earl. He's a solo. He plays, in other words, he plays the keyboards, and he has a one of those holders. So he plays the saxophone, he plays the keyboard, and he uses his feet to play the... What are you laughing at?
It just occurred to me that it's like one of those one-man...
Talk about those guys that has a monkey on a street.
No, he doesn't have a monkey on a street.
Now, you're talking about an organ grinder, bud. This is one of those clowns that has the...
He's not a clown. It's the Earl Haynes combo.
One guy.
It's one guy, but it's four instruments.
Well, that's not a combo. All right. You know.
I thought a combo, you know, I don't mean to be making a joke. I thought a combo would be like having a steak and surf.
What?
You mean surf and turf?
Yeah.
That's food.
Yeah, well, he's talking about the combo.
Yeah, well, he's talking about the Sizzler combo.
Oh, you guys really deserve to die. Got it.
That's a terrible thing to say, Margaret.
I'm getting some air.
You guys deserve to die.
I heard that, and I can't believe I heard. You know what I mean. You know what I'm trying to say.
I do, General. Thank you. All right, well, what the hell is... Turn that off, bud. All right, a lot of stuff's been going on. One of the things we didn't get to during the show, I haven't played all of the Justin Bieber audio. Should we do that?
Well, do it next hour. I don't want to have Bieber on my mind as I try to go outside and look at the stars and feel good about life, having just listened to that snot-nosed, dirty...
Yeah, that guy Bieber, he's really asking for it.
Look, Bieber, I'll tell you one thing that I do agree with Margaret about. Bieber is he's a big name, and he's a big celebrity. Now, having been in these depositions, I think what happens is... these guys, not because they think that they're better than anybody else, but they do deal with paparazzi, they deal with photographers, and they deal with attorneys, and you get defensive. It isn't that you think that you run the world, it's that you don't feel you should be the victim of these guys trying to get your picture every 5 seconds. And so the attorney for the photographer becomes a representative of that guy. So he's pissed, basically. He's pissed, and he doesn't want to cooperate, and the attorney... Bieber's attorney is enabling him. You know, he might say to him, look, why don't you just answer the questions respectfully and let's get the hell out of here. But Bieber, I'm sure, has said, I don't want to do that. I want to do it my way because this guy's pissing me off, you know.
Well, I agree with you. But if I were the attorney and he were my client and I said to him, now, look, Bieber, you know.
Well, you'd say, look, Justin.
No, I would not. I would say, listen, Bieber, I'm your lawyer and we want to get out of here with our ass intact. So answer this man respectfully, otherwise I will ram your head right through that door. And I would point to the part of the door where his head would go through, and I'd take out some chalk and draw an X there. And I'd say, see that? That's where your head's going.
Well, what's that going to do? Is the guy going to answer?
I think he might then consider, well, hell, I think I better answer these questions respectfully or my head gets driven, and it gets driven... it ain't no designated driver that will be, you know, that will be driven in the head. You see?
Yeah.
Well, Phil, I'm sorry I didn't say it well, but...
You said it fantastic. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back. And it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. We are live and mobile at Listen Live on our website. If you just punch that Listen Live button, we are live and mobile on TuneIn. And on Monday, the 17th of March, that is this coming Monday, we are going to be a totally web-based radio show. Why? A lot of people ask me why. And it's a very, very simple answer. That's where the money is. That's where we've made our money. That's where we have made our money for the last 7, 8, 9 years. that is a and it's a direct to the consumer model. I can talk directly to, I can advertise to, I can market to, I can communicate directly to the people that will be users of our product. That is the Phil Hendry Show. And it has been the web where the money has been made. You know, radio is not a place to make money anymore. I personally believe it's a simple question, not so much of the technology or the platform or the medium itself being outdated. It is a question of the lack of talent at the managerial, sales, and marketing level in radio. I mean that. So you can take any one of the big individual names that you would care to mention in the broadcasting business and single them out and say, well, that's a guy, he's got no talent for marketing, selling, or making radio successful.
Well, are you talking about the big names that run the big companies?
Yes, because even if they are running the big companies, Clear Channel is $500 million in debt. They have no choice. They're going to have to sell radio stations. I don't know what Cumulus is about, but I've heard the brain trust at Cumulus quoted. I've read their interviews. I've seen the things they've had to say. And you can't make head nor tail out of what these guys, I don't even think they know what it is they're talking about. I've read the commentary. By the way, can I just tell you the greatest irony of all?
Now, Phil, hold on for a minute. You're walking down Crap Can Avenue. You know that, don't you?
Yeah, I was going to say that, General. Going down Crap Can Avenue.
What do you mean I'm going down Crap Can Avenue? What does that mean?
You know full well.
Phil, you're going down Crap Can Avenue and the chain broke.
Yeah, but son, you got to watch out.
What does that mean, Crap Can Avenue? You mean I'm talking some smack here that I shouldn't be talking?
You got it, my friend. You're taking on some of the biggest names in radio.
What are they going to do, man? What are they going to do to me? Are they going to, what? I mean, they've already basically told me, no, we can't sell you. We can't, you know, your show is far too strange for anything that we got going on in radio. No, we don't do that in radio, Phil. We're doing news talk. We're doing We Hate Obama and Sports. We Hate Obama and Sports. We Hate Obama and Sports. That's what we're doing. And that's what we're doing. And that's what we're doing. And then we're also playing a lot of bad music. And that's, you know, but here, I got to tell you this. You're going to love this.
Well, I just think you're going down Crap Can Boulevard and it's intersecting and take it up, you know.
You have to hear the general out, Phil, because he's making a very good point.
All right.
You're walking down Crap Can Avenue right to the intersection of take it in the...
Yeah. Take it up the thing.
Take it up the what?
Street.
Take it up the street?
No, I can't. It's Crap Can Avenue, and it's inter... Hold on, Phil. Let me get the... Here. Here's a map. Now, you see that...
You don't have to show me Crap Can Avenue's intersection. What are you talking about, man?
You're just going places, Phil. And where you're going, my friend, there's no coming back.
General, I don't think you understand my business, okay?
I know what it is to have a very formidable adversary.
They're not adversaries. They're not adversaries at all. I understand my business. That's all. I understand what's happening in my business. Look, I got to go. I got no choice. I got to go where I can make a living. Would you not agree with that?
Well, yes, I would agree with it, but you don't want to go to take it up the you-know-what street after having...
Well, these images of take it up the you-know-what street, and I was just on Crap Can Boulevard.
Yeah, I'm going to the intersection.
You're going to the intersection of those two.
What does that mean, I'm going to the intersection?
Well, what do you think it means? If you're going down Crap Can Avenue at the intersection of take it up the you-know-what, and that doesn't mean anything.
No, it doesn't.
Look at him laughing. Do you love that?
Phil, you're laughing, and this is your future we're talking about.
Well, if you're talking about my future, I guess I'm losing it. You know, I'm losing my future. I don't understand what you're... I'm telling you, I'm not trying to piss anybody off. I'm not trying to say anything that's bad. I'm just saying to you that I am... I know where the Phil Hendry Show does its best work, and I know where we are where we do our best business, and I know where the future lies for us. Not maybe for the rest of anybody else doing anything, but I know where it lies for us. The things we're involved in right now is where we should be going. You ask me, why are we no longer on the terrestrial platform? Because we can't do this show there. They won't promote it. They won't market it. They won't affiliate it. They won't sell. There's no... And I'm going to say this, and you may not like what I'm going to say, but they've taken... a lot of these managerial types have delighted over the years in talking about talent. Well, I'm going to talk about talent now. There's no talent in radio at the programming, managerial, or executive level.
Oh, my God. He just did it, General.
There, right there. You just hit the intersection of taking up the you-know-what.
But yeah, you hit the intersection there.
And it's a red light, my friend.
All right. There's no talent for actually marketing, selling, managing, and programming radio in radio today. None. It's gone. And so we're going where we're going now.
And by the way, you're being heard on radio stations right now.
Well, the radio stations we're on, I think, have got, you know, they got a little more intestinal fortitude than most, and they can take the truth when they hear it. Now, and they most likely have the single most talented programming people around. Now, here's the irony of ironies. Wait till you hear this. You're going to love this. I get more questions from people about SiriusXM. When's your show going to be on SiriusXM? Why isn't your show on SiriusXM? This, that. SiriusXM is like any other radio station. It's like any other, it may be satellite, but it's run by people that have a terrestrial radio mindset. It's got programming people that, some of them got some programming experience in radio. Some of them are from the movie business. But they're all the same kind of conservative thinkers that they got in terrestrial radio. Now, I've had this ongoing conversation with these guys at SiriusXM. I had Ron Hartenbaum working with me, and Ron was having conversations, okay? Nothing happening over there. There's no money there, for starters. There is absolutely no money there for people that work on the air. SiriusXM gets, and I got to hand it to them, they get a subscription dollar out of their consumer, and they run advertising on some of the channels. They don't pay their talent anything. They, apparently, they're driving town cars all over the place. At least the executives are to go to lunch, so I don't know what that's about. But here, let me just ask you, let me just give you the news here. I, you know, when it comes to having my show on their channel, we can't get started with these guys, but there isn't a day that goes by that I don't get a phone call from their telemarketers, and today I just got something in the mail because I bought a car, and with my car, I get a SiriusXM subscription. Did you know that?
Oh, and they're trying to sell you a subscription.
They're trying to sell me a subscription. So I had to call Ron up and say, Ron, these guys are calling me all the time. He'd probably say, wow, that's fantastic. Yeah, do you want a subscription to SiriusXM, man? Because that's what they're trying to sell me.
So these clowns aren't, that's why they're calling?
That's why they're calling me, yeah. I ought to take the call. I should have taken the call. I saw the call come in twice, and I said, I don't know what the hell this call is, man. And then I checked the number, and it was a SiriusXM telemarketing number. So they got telemarketers that work there. So these guys, folks, have a way of doing business. They're doing the exact, they're in the same business I'm in. They're in the same, SiriusXM is in the exact same business I'm in, except they're bigger. They're in the business of getting subscription dollars. And if the subscription dollars are not enough, they do something one step further than Phil Hendry is willing to go. They go out and they get advertisers. They don't give a damn whether you're a subscriber or not. You're a subscriber? Great. You're going to have to listen to this commercial anyway. And then when that money is fine, but then they even go, you know, further than that. They've got telemarketers that are going to call you up and actively seek your business. Whereas, for instance, we simply, rather passively, I think, promote on Facebook, we promote on social media, we promote on our website. And we also buy Google AdSense and things like that. So they're in the exact same business that I'm in. And I thought it was pretty funny that not only was I getting calls from them, but today I got an envelope from them.
You want to bring it in and open it up and read it?
What I ought to do and what I will do if I ever get another call from them is I will record the damn thing.
You ought to pretend like you're someone else, like you used to do, and just go, hey, yeah, hi. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. That'd be great.
Well, don't blow it off, Phil. It sounds like it might be fun.
Yeah, it'd be fun. All right. So that and that and that and that. All right, let's get into our good friends, and I'm not trying to be glib, folks, at Malaysia Airlines Flight 370. You know, they've got a lot of information has come about since last night. Information on who these guys were with the fake passports, information on where the plane actually was traveling, information on the last messages they received, information on where they are searching now. Lots of new stuff. We're going to find out what it is, and we'll be back and talk at you about that stuff real soon. World-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, and, of course, we're online at philhendryshow.com with our Listen Live our Listen Live feature, and it's available mobile, too. So check out our mobile site and listen to the show right now. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show. Don't forget the 17th. That's the day we are a fully webitized show. And get a subscription to our Backstage Pass. See, you know, I was talking about SiriusXM. If you subscribe to SiriusXM, you got all these different shows. But with a subscription to our website, God, look at that. That's it's all messed up.
It's because it's yellow.
Yeah. You get over 5,000 hours, probably close to 10,000 hours of audio from Phil Hendry shows of yore. And there are two subscription tiers, one for our full access, including video casts, and the other audio only. Now, yeah, I've got this yellow sheet here. I was showing the viewers of Phil TV tonight, and you can see, guys, there is the yellow correspondence I got from SiriusXM. Now, here, like I said, this is a company that my partner, Ron Hartenbaum, was in communication with to see if we could get our show over there. And when he first sent to me, you know, because Ron does business with SiriusXM, and he has shows that are over there. He's got, I think, Stephanie Miller is there.
Yes, you were saying Stephanie Miller and the other man. God, what's his name?
I don't know. Smirkin.
Yeah, Michael Spurglin.
Michael Smirkanish Spurglin.
Well, the name is unusual, Phil.
All right. Anyway, I said to him, well, I don't know, man, because, look, we are a subscription model. And I'm going to be on SiriusXM asking people to subscribe to my website, and they've already paid one subscription price to listen to Sirius. And he said, well, you know, Ron's a good guy, but you always know when you're talking to anybody, no matter who they are, if they're a business partner, if they're just a friend, if you're just talking sports, whatever, you always know you made a point that it's a little tough for them to sort of climb over, but they're going to do it. And one thing about good salesmen is they never stop talking. You know, they just keep on.
Well, what are you saying, that this guy Ron was motor mouthing it?
No. He was trying to tell me, no, that's cool. I understand. But you see, anyway. While that's going on, I get a letter here from SiriusXM to be a subscriber. Dear Philip Hendry, in a few days, the SiriusXM trial subscription that came with your new vehicle will expire. You must act quickly to avoid disruption of your satellite radio service. I haven't listened to it once.
Well, did you know you had it?
Oh, yeah, I knew I had it, but I didn't.
Well, why didn't you at least sample it?
Well, I don't care, man. I don't care. You see, I'm in the radio business. It's not like I'm a regular radio consumer, so it's not the same thing. I'm not going to use radio and use things that are offered to me in terms of radio the same way. It's fast and easy to continue your Sirius Select service and find out more about our subscription plan, monthly subscription. Well, look at this. Their monthly subscription is way more expensive, you know.
How much is it?
It's $14.99. They have a quarterly subscription, and then they have an annual that's $164 with 1 month that's free. Now, they were, at one time, SiriusXM was selling, I thought, and everybody was laughing about this because it sounded to me like they were in very desperate straits. They were selling lifetime subscriptions. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I heard about that. That's back when the company's going to go bankrupt and everything.
Well, I don't know if that's true or not. Subscribe online at SiriusXM or call, and don't miss a minute of all the music, sports, news, talk, and entertainment you can only find on SiriusXM. There are no cancellation fees, and if you subscribe now, we'll waive the $15. Look at that. They get you coming and going with this thing, man.
Well, what do they got?
They have, first of all, what they do, this is, I mean, we could probably learn some lessons from them. I wouldn't do any of this stuff because they've got a reactivation fee. So if your subscription lapses, you have to pay $15 to reactivate it. They have, like I said, they have advertising they're making money with, as well as the subscription fee itself. They have a quarterly subscription fee, as well as an annual. So they don't even have a half a year.
Well, what does that mean?
Well, what it means is they're charging a quarterly fee. They probably make more on the quarterly fees than they do on a 6 month.
Oh, absolutely they do. Absolutely they do. They're doing it every which way they can. And the way they do it, and the way I think they've been able to do it is that they've invested heavily in these ancillary programs around the Howards and the Opie and Anthonys. They've got a core of talk radio programs that are strictly political. They have Opie and Anthony and Howard, which are kind of their morning drive offerings. And then they have, you know, whatever the hell else they've got. I don't know. But, you know, the working conditions of that place, and I've heard Opie and Anthony saying this, and I've heard Howard say it. It's the place is strictly from hunger. They don't like it. They don't like the money they're making. They don't like the environment. They don't like anything about it. So, I don't know.
Well, you know something? A guy can swallow a whole lot of bad working environment for the right kind of money. Let me tell you what.
Yeah, a guy can take a lot for the right kind of money.
Oh, yeah? Well, why don't you see me after the show here, bud?
Oh, my God.
Get it perverted.
I'm kidding.
All right, bud. Hey, bud, see me after the show, man. We'll see what you can take.
Yeah, you wish.
No.
All right, enough of that disgusting talk. Okay, the Phil Hendry Show. Now, what happened last night, you know, when we last left you, Art Griego was talking to us. Do we have another airline expert to talk to?
Well, we're fresh out of airline experts and everything. Jay Sandals, Citizens Auxiliary Police, are going to check in, though, on the search protocol and everything like that.
This guy, Sandals.
You know, we'll find out from Jay.
Well, this guy, you're talking about Jay Sandals, this knuckle, the knucklehead that, oh, baby, that guy I want to kill every time I hear him.
Well, Jay has the Citizens Auxiliary Police. They've done searches before.
What searches has that bonehead done? That man walks around the neighborhood at wig tips with the pork pie hat.
Not a pork pie hat, it's a pith helmet.
Oh, excuse me, I got that wrong. I'm sorry, Mr. Sandals, I thought you wore a pork pie hat. He walks, well, what is he wearing?
Yeah, he does walk with a pork pie hat.
No, he doesn't wear a pork pie hat. Why don't you get it right?
What difference does it make?
It makes a difference so that at least we know how to identify the guy.
You had a program on with a man with a pork pie hat and lederhosen.
That was the guy playing the Bavarian slap dance music. What are you talking about?
Well, Phil, the problem is you and some of these weird asses that you get on the program. You've got to really begin to streamline this thing and filter out some of this weirdness that keeps getting through you've got to sift it better.
Yeah, okay. Whatever you say there, General, I got to filter out the weird asses. If I did that, nobody'd be working here except me.
Not funny.
Yeah. All right, so let's take a look and see what we can see, said the little brown duck man. Now, you know that this has been such a tragic story. Malaysia's Air Force now is reporting, and again, we are looking here. Malaysia's Air Force denies saying the jet tracked to Malacca. These are all these rumors that the Malaysian government, the Malaysia Air Force, is having to put down. The most recent being the chief of the Malaysian Air Force denied saying that Flight 370 was tracked as deviating from its path into the Malacca Strait, adding to the confusion surrounding the search for the missing plane, which ended its fifth day. Now, this was what I heard last night, and I heard a number of networks, not networks, I was actually reading this on Google News. One of them, the Bloomberg site, another was ABC, making these statements about the plane deviating. Now the head of Malaysia's Air Force is saying he never said that. It would not be appropriate for the Royal Malaysian Air Force to issue any official conclusions as to the aircraft's flight path until a high amount of certainty and verification is achieved, said General Razdallah Daud in an email statement. I did not make any such comment. He said, referring to a Berita Harian newspaper report that he had cited him as saying an airbase detected, yada, yada, yada.
What's going on down there? I'm a newspaper reporter, and I know the protocol. You must get verification. You also have to cite two sources. Then you call your editor on a payphone, and only on a payphone, and you say, Chief, and these, what are you looking at?
What do you mean you call him on a payphone?
What are you talking about, Margaret?
When you're a reporter, not anymore, but you'd go to a payphone and you'd say, listen, and listen good. I'm only going to say this once. Did you get that? Well.
Yeah, okay. What are we, in a 1943 movie or something?
I'm just telling you, they're doing it all wrong down there. Any guy that's got a name with that many syllables, you've seen these names, haven't you?
Yeah, all right. I have to take a break, Margaret.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, because I got to take a break, and I have to at least, you know, get a breath of fresh air myself after what I just heard you say. How about that?
Oh, you're jealous.
That's right, Margaret. We're jealous of you and your payphone and your...
All right, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo by Rick Derringer.
No, it isn't. It's not Rick Derringer, no.
It's not Rick Derringer? What did you say?
It's not Rick Derringer.
Yes, it is. Oh, get a load of Hendry. Yes, it is, Phil.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Well, who is it?
Johnny Winter.
Oh, big.
Yeah, that guy's an albino. I don't give a damn if he's an albino. What's that got to do with anything?
Well, why are you playing? And Johnny, if you're listening, I love your music, but it's weird for you to play an albino.
Why are you playing the albino?
What is it with you guys? And I'm playing the albino. It's just unusual for you to select the albino over a man with normal pigment. You know, you're starting to sound like a racist.
No, that's not racism, because an albino is not a race. An albino is a subset of...
Yeah, an albino is...
Let's not start. Yeah, you know what? Hold on. Turn that down, will you, bud?
Turn what down? Rick Derringer?
Get that... Thank you, Rick Derringer. That's Johnny Winter.
All right.
And what do you mean, why did I choose the albino over a guy with normal pigment?
I'm just wondering, the other version by Rick Derringer,
Rick Derringer.
All right, Rick Derringer, geez.
Yeah, I know, General. He gets like this late in the evening.
Yeah, I know. I get like this. I'm such an unreasonable guy. Imagine me playing the albino over a guy with a...
Well, the normal ping skidment...
What do you mean? Are you talking about skid marks?
You mean the normal skin pigment?
That's what I said.
No, you said the normal ping skidment.
That's why I thought you were talking about...
You're talking about streaking.
No, I'm not talking about streaking. What?
He's talking about normal skin pigment.
Well, don't get into my ear. Well, thank you, Phil.
Oh, ow, my ear.
Well, how does it feel?
Dad.
What are you doing?
You did the same thing to me.
All right, listen, everybody calm down before I kick ass. I played that version because I like that version. I like Rick Derringer's version, too. But I happen to like Johnny Winter. And if it push comes to shove, General, hold on. Hold on. If push comes to shove and I have an option of playing the albino against another guy with normal skin pigment, I may just play the albino. Not because he's got the albino, but...
When did he come down with albino?
What do you mean, when did he come down without... Oh, man.
Don't come down with it, man.
You know something, bud? That's really cruel. It's really cruel, you know? Be like me talking about, when did you get that hole in your head?
I got a motorcycle.
See, Bud doesn't have a problem answering that.
Yeah, and I could get personal with you too, Margaret.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, boy, don't go there, Phil.
No, I could. If you want to start talking albino...
Phil, I was being respectful. I said, when did you all of a sudden start getting... When did you become an albino lover? Where are you going?
I'm not going. I just, you know. When did I become an albino lover?
Yeah.
All right. Johnny Winter, a great, great, great guitar player and one of my all-time favorites. In fact, when I was a young high schooler and I was so much into music in those days, back then you had that was the heyday of the Guitar Hero. You've probably heard of the whole Guitar Hero era.
Not really, no.
Well, yes, you have. Were the guys...
You're talking about the guitar solo act. We saw... In Vietnam, we saw the guy that was the... What do you want to call him? He played for Elvis. Scotty Moore?
Yeah, you saw him?
Well, no. I heard a guy had a couple of records, though. And we would sit around...
We'd stay on the USO.
On the USO tour, we saw Bob Hope and the Playboy Bunny and Glenn Campbell. It was wonderful.
That's great.
Well, what do you... Oh, look at you. You think you're all that in a bag of pork rinds because you saw Bob Zeppelin, you know.
It's not Bob Zeppelin.
Well, whoever he saw.
I saw Led Zeppelin. All right.
But Led Zeppelin wasn't going to play the USO tour, so what do you want from me?
I know. That was a bad time, you know. That was a bad time. Imagine all those guys in Vietnam, and there was so much music I bet you they would have liked to have seen on those USO tours, but in those days, everything was so... politically skewed, you know.
Yeah, so we're stuck with Glenn Campbell and the Grassroots, and you're going off to see the Bob Zeppelin show.
It ain't Bob Zeppelin. I know that.
We talk about Bob Zeppelin.
All right, I've got it wrong. Okay, anything else I got wrong? God, who's the guy that did Like a Rolling Stone?
Bob Dylan.
Well, all right.
It was Led Zeppelin, General.
Okay.
All right. So where was I? I've completely spaced out. No, yeah. I'm sorry to hear that, General. But Johnny Winter, I loved him. And so the Guitar Hero. That's what we're gonna say. And at that time, and I'm not kidding you, the greatest guitar players on earth, in my generation, we probably considered these guys at one time. There was about a 2-year period where these were the best guitar players we knew: Jimi Hendrix, Eric Clapton, Mike Bloomfield, Johnny Winter, Alvin Lee. Those five. Oh, excuse me. I take it back. Carlos Santana be six.
Well, you could keep on going, Phil.
No, you could not keep on going. Those guys were considered to be head and shoulders above everybody else. Santana, Winter, Alvin Lee, Clapton.
And Jimi Hendrix.
And of course, Hendrix was considered to be head and shoulders above those guys. But it depended upon the kind of music that you liked.
Well, I think Jimi Hendrix, with all of the what do you call that kind of music?
You did a lot of feedback.
Feedback?
Yeah, he did a lot of that real, just ear-splitting, weird, and I thought that was very inventive and very clever, the things that he did. How does it go? It goes, like that?
Yeah, it's feedback. God, Margaret.
Did I do it good?
Yeah, it hurt me.
Okay, so those guys were considered to be the top-notch guys, and then who
after them?
Oh, I don't, you know, I mean, there were guitar players come along and become, well, Jimmy Page, but...
No, you didn't say Jimmy Page. Why not him?
I'm just talking about musicians that I knew. Nobody put Jimmy Page up there with those guys, because Jimmy Page was a good guitar player, but he was not on a level with those guys that I just mentioned. He was a great... I think he was an inventive guy. And God knows, like Hendrix, he got sounds out of the guitar that people never got before. But he wasn't a guy that I don't think anybody considered Jimmy Page to be a proficient player on a level with the rest of those guys. I'm telling you right now, and I'm just quoting guitar players that I knew. And these were all guys that admired cats like, you know, it doesn't get any better than Bloomfield and Clapton and Hendrix and guys like that. So for these guys to say, well, yeah, Jimmy Page is good, but he was not. He was not a great.
Well, what about? I don't know anything about them.
Well, you ought to
get Dowder on the phone, will you?
Who?
Jeff Dowder, will you?
Yeah, okay.
You ought to list them 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, whatever you do, huh?
No, I don't want to do that. Get Dowder and Jeff Dowder's with the band Dark Horse in the South Bay, and he gigs along with his band on Friday and Saturday nights there, Mr. Poos. And what we'll do is just get an opinion from him on, you know, the relative strength of these guitar players, because I don't feel like I'm qualified, you know what I mean, to talk about this. I'm not a musician. Are you in the bathtub?
Yeah, Phil. I just came in for Mr. Poos. We had a practice tonight. I'm drawing a bath.
Okay.
How many people... are baths all of a sudden very big in your generation, or just...
Well, he's not the only one. I heard the Dooley woman.
Yeah, we've had a lot of people taking baths on this show, Jeff. That's why I was curious as to you taking the bath. But I wanted to ask you a couple of questions here, man. First of all, how many guitar players are there in your band?
Well, right now we have 1, 2, 3. We have 3 guitar players because we're going to travel with 1 guitar player, and right now we want to see how good they are. So we got 3 guitar players.
Well, you mean you're going to go out on tour or something?
Yeah, we're going to go on tour. So right now we have 3 guitar players at Mr. Pooh, and then we're going to have 1 guitar player when we go, for instance, start gigging with Mrs. Pooh in Phoenix. And then we go to the Pooh Twins, which is another club in Houston, and then Daddy Pooh and Mommy Pooh.
Whoa, what is this? Are these...
What are you talking about, Daddy Pooh?
What?
What are these places?
What do you mean, what are these places? These are places we're going to be gigging. But when we go on tour this summer, we're going to probably be, we'll start out at Mr. Pooh's. But by the time we hit the road.
No, hold on. What? How much water are you putting in that tub, Jeff?
I'm just drawing a bath.
I know you're drawing a bath, man. I can hear that. You're playing how many gigs?
We're going to go out and we're going to tour probably the Southwest and Southeast. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. That's just, it was a tough gig, Mr. Harris. So there's nothing like sitting in a nice hot tub.
No, I think a hot tub's great. I'm asking you about these clubs. Where are you playing after Mr. Pooh's?
Then we're going to Phoenix to Mrs. Pooh's. And then we're going to Daddy Pooh's, which is in Albuquerque. Have you heard about this?
Albuquerque?
I don't know. And then we're going to, look at this, bubble bath is out. Then we're going to go to El Paso, and that's the Pooh Twins. And then we go to Grandma Pooh's. And
All right, I got it. What is it with the Pooh thing, man? How many different places named Pooh's?
Oh, it's owned by the same guy. These are all his clubs. And
I see. So this is a chain.
Well, no, it's not a chain. They're individual, different clubs with different atmospheres and different music. Like, for instance, one is a German restaurant, and another one, I think the Pooh Twins, that's the German restaurant, and then Daddy Pooh and Mommy Pooh, that's in New Orleans. And as you might imagine, it being in New Orleans, it may have a New Orleans theme, or it might be about vampires. I don't know what it is. And
what do you mean vampires?
I'm sorry.
What do you mean? What is that? Vampires?
Well, I mean that seems to be the motif in New Orleans is a vampire. You know. Yeah, let's get a little more hot water because we're out of bubble bath, so I got to.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that, man.
Well, are you being sarcasm or something? Or?
Hold on for a minute, will you?
Why are you irritated?
I can't hear the guy. He's got the tub. He's out of bubble bath. Now he's telling me he's playing.
Well, I knew that. I know Jerry Chesmont, who owns Mr. Pooh's down there, and I know he's a real squirrel from way back. I knew him because I went to high school with him.
Oh, you know the guy that owns this club?
Oh, yeah, I know him. And he and a bunch of. Chesmont used to run with Tommy, the Butler brothers, and Tommy Pasoda. And they were just a squirrel pack, and these guys they ran together, and we'd say, you know, watch it, the squirrels are running at midnight, and it meant that Tommy Chesmont and the Butler brothers and Tommy Pasoda, you know.
You mean Jack Chesmont?
Who did I say?
You said Tommy.
No, Tommy Pasoda.
All right, that's fine. We'll be right back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. I don't know who these guys are that you're talking about.
Well, you asked me who they were, and I'm telling you, the squirrels run at midnight.
All right, the squirrels are running. We'll be right back here on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, talking with Jeff Dowder. What was that?
No.
Talking with Jeff Dowder about the, great guitar players. They've got three guitar players in Dark Horse. The Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. I was going to call myself Will Hendry. What's that?
Well, you thought this was Willie and the Hand Jive, and it's not. It's Headhunter. What a jackpot.
This is Headhunter. It ain't Willie and the Hand Jive. Anyway, welcome back to the Phil Hendry Show.
Who's this guitar? Is this Jeff Beck?
This ain't Jeff. Are you nuts or something?
He's being a smartass.
Look, don't mess around, Bud, because you're going to piss some people off here. Jeff Beck.
Jeff Beck, that's a guy that Nikki just reminded me of. You know, I'm sorry I missed. Jeff Beck was a great one, too. But for some reason, you never put Jeff Beck in that group because he was, he was different, man. He wasn't really, he was a solo act, even though he did have a band and he did have, it was his band that Rod Stewart started in. But you never really identified him as standing on a stage surrounded by a band of other guy. I don't know, you know.
Well, look, Phil, you're a guy that goes with the albino, and
you knock it off with the albino thing. All right, Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. So Jeff Dowder on the line with us as we're talking with him from Temple City tonight. Jeff is... Hey, Jeff, did you just turn the tub on, man, just to... Jeff?
No, I do need to heat it up. I do need to heat it up.
I want to get back to this Mr. Pooh nonsense.
Oh, that's the guy.
No, I know that because I know Jack Chesbro. By the way, there was another Jack Chesbro. There was a pitcher for the New York Giants, Phil, way back, you know.
What are you talking about, a pitcher? You mean a quarterback?
No. The New York Giants were a baseball team.
No.
Yeah, not the ones that play football, the ones that play baseball, for God's sake.
There was the San Francisco Giants used to be in New York, bud.
When?
Before 1958. They moved to San Francisco then.
Oh, bud, would you just shut up and listen? The San Francisco Giants are the New York Giants, only they're in San Francisco now.
Why aren't they called the San Francisco Giants then?
They are called the San Francisco Giants.
Oh.
God. They started in New York. So, and what, Jack Chesbro?
Yo, Jack Chesbro, that was another. But now Chesbro and Tommy Pasota and the Butler brothers, these guys were squirrels from way back, and we all went to the same senior class together over here at Monrovia High School. Now, thank God I wasn't in the same class with some of these other nuts, like this, what's the nut that was, the Manson nut? You know who that was, Phil?
Leslie Van Houten.
Well, there Leslie Van Houten. Now, that woman was, she was cuckoo from way back. But anyway, one night, the Butler brothers and Pasota and Chesbro, they're screaming down Foothill Boulevard in Tommy Butler's dad's convertible Lincoln Continental, and they're going like a bat out of hell. And anyway...
Is this going to take long? Because I want to talk about...
Why don't you just cool your jets there, bathtub boy? I'm telling a story here, all right?
Just hold on. Go ahead.
So anyway, Tommy Butler got his old man's Lincoln Continental, and we're doing, I wasn't in the car. They're doing like a bat out of hell. Well, anyway, they hit a bump, and then they hit a dip, and then a bump, and then a dip. And that's all it took. The car started to do a side over side. Tommy Butler saw which side of the bread the butter was on, and he dove from the car at that point.
Oh, my God, how fast was the car going?
Probably in excess of 90, maybe 100 miles an hour. But Butler saw no choice at all. He went ahead and made his move.
This kid dove from the car. Well, at least it was a convertible.
No, but they had the top up. They had the top up, and Butler had to cut that plastic window out of the back, crawl out on the back, and then dive, you know?
Oh, man, are you kidding me? I'm listening to this story. That's about as messed up as it can ever get.
Well, that's what happened.
Wait, I gotta ask you. They're screaming ass down Foothill Boulevard with the top up.
Oh, yeah, the top was up. Well, it had to be up.
Why, was it, like, raining?
No, it was the middle of summer, but they couldn't get it down. It was stuck. They wanted to take a nice moonlit drive together. I realize it sounds odd, just being guys in the car, but that's how they felt about each other, and it wasn't sexual. They were very good friends, but they couldn't get the top down, and apparently that pissed off Chesbro, and that's when he floored it.
All right, so they're flooring it. This guy Chesbro sounds like he was he's still alive.
Oh, yeah, watch how you're talking about him.
Yeah, Jack Chesbro owns Mr. Pooh.
All right, back the phone off, will you?
Sorry. Jack Chesbro owns Mr. He's a very good guy. He owns that club, and his brother owns the Pooh. His brother owns the Pooh Casino out in the desert.
How many of these places are there, anyway?
Well, like I say, they have a chain, and then they also have an interest in an Indian, with an Indian, you know?
What do you mean they got an interest with an Indian?
He's talking about Indian gaming?
Yeah, the Pooh Casino out near the Chicka-Chicka-Chunka. I forget the name of the tribe, but it starts with Chick and it ends with Wonga or something.
Oh, yeah, the Chickawanga.
No, it ain't.
Well, who cares what it is, okay? Finish the story here, this story.
All right, well, anyway, they hit the... Well, now, Tommy Butler, or Tommy Pasota says, holy Jesus, I got to get out of here. He takes out a switchblade knife and starts cutting the plastic out of the rear window of the convertible. The car begins to go side over side. He crawls out onto the back trunk, looks back, blows a kiss, and leaps.
And what happened to him?
Well, he broke his leg, but the other guys, you don't want to know, man. It took the jaws of life. They had to cut, and the Butler brothers, they were sealed together in a pit of their own filth.
That is about as goofball a story as I've ever heard, and very tragic. Was anyone killed?
No, thank God no one was killed. Everyone's fine. Jack, you know, Downer, does he still walk with the cane?
Yeah, he's got a Wolverine cane, man, and everything. It's pretty bitchin'. And when he walks around with it, he's got a werewolf and everything.
What do you mean, a werewolf? It was like a silver cane?
Yeah, it's got and Jack Chesbro's the owner of Mr. Pooh's. He's a great guy, and everybody loves him, and it was all a big misunderstanding.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Jeff.
Oh, wait, I was.
And why did he get cut off, but I can still hear his tub?
I think the bathtub called in separately.
Get out of here. All right. By the way, block the bathtub's number, but I do want to have...
Okay.
Is this Rick Derringer?
No, this is Johnny Winter again.
Oh, would you get off the albino kick and get with a white...
You were going to say get with a white man.
Well, no, I'd like to hear a black man now.
All right, folks, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Thank you very... World-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Thank you very much, Nikki, for helping us out tonight, as usual. And we will catch you guys tomorrow night. Don't forget, we are live on the Webster on Monday starting at 9 a.m. A live show each and every morning, 9 to 11, and the podcast dropping the same day. Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.
Later!